Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. So, October is a very important month for millions of Africans across the continent. It's a month of big celebrations and commemorations from Nigeria to Uganda to Guinea to Zambia. October is a month in which they gained their hard-fought independence from their former colonial masters. For Nigerians, October 1st was the date that they raised their flag, marking the end to British rule in this vast West African country. And 2 years before that, on October 2nd, 1958, another West African country, Guinea, under the legendary Sékou Touré, had proclaimed itself a sovereign and independent republic from the French. Down to the eastern part of the continent, Ugandans would celebrate the end to colonial rule on the 9th of October, raising their flag and lowering the Union Jack, effectively putting an end to British rule. There had been a British protectorate since 1894. But today's show is not a history lesson in and of itself. Rather, I give you that background because we want to examine the concept of independence in Africa, especially when it comes to how young people view their freedoms and their ability to express their free will in all spheres of life. And we ask the question, what does independence really mean to them? And some people have said that for independence to be more than just a flag and anthem independence, they need more participation in the policy-making processes, and they also want to speak out freely on how these policies affect their daily lives. Is this happening? And if it's not, can you truly say that you're independent? But as always, before we get into our discussion, let's listen to your opinions.
Hello, Afro. My name is Joanna Chip. I'm a Ugandan. Independence, to me, it means liberty. As a young youth like me who is growing up, I'm seeing a lot of development as we are independent to do so many things on our own. I can see a lot of business taking place. I see a lot of opportunity for youth. So I'm happy about the independence in our country. So many things are going on, so many activities. And I advise our leaders to support us as youth with so many things to do or to come up with.
Hello, Upfront. My name is Brilliant. I'm in Kampala, Uganda. I am a business lady. And to me, independence in Uganda means, first of all, from the theory kind of view, independence is definitely when Uganda got the freedom from the colonialists. And as an adult, what I understand really in Uganda, independence is basically something ceremonial. We just see it on TV, it is Independence Day, but I don't see really anything much that happens to us as Ugandans.
Hello, Upfront Africa. My name is Navinia Helen, and I'm from Kampala, Uganda. To me personally, independence is having my freedom, freedom of speech, expression, freedom to go where I want, to do what I want.
Those were young Africans expressing their opinions on this topic today, our topic of discussion. If you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. On the show today, we are talking about independence in Africa. What does independence mean for millions of young Africans who celebrate the end to colonial rule as the gaining of independence? But the question today's youth ask is, what is independence? What does it mean to you as a citizen? And what is holding you back from realizing full independence? And joining me in studio is a young Ugandan legislator, Anthony Akol. He's a member of parliament representing a constituency in the northern district of Uganda, district of Amuro. He tells me that as Ugandans celebrated the 9th of October as Independence Day, he didn't see much to celebrate, and neither did many in his constituency.
On the 9th of October, 1962, when the Union Jack, as they call it, and was lowered down, and then the Ugandan flag, which comprises the crested crane, was
hoisted.
And then it was clearly declared that Uganda is now independent. It is by coincidence that today In the morning, I was watching a speech from the former president of Uganda when he first visited the U.S. And I was talking to the president and said, we want to give Ugandans economic freedom. We want to give Ugandans freedom of speech. We want to
political
give
freedom.
Ugandans political freedom. That will bring me to key issues.
Yes, I know we will get to the key issues, but just we wanted to set it up for the history lesson of independence in Uganda. So Uganda had been a British protectorate since the 1894, I believe, until 1962. Is Ugandan history taught in schools in terms of what independence means?
Exactly, in the syllabus of the country, Uganda, in the history bit of it, part of what we learn from school is about how the British protectorate came to Uganda, how Uganda struggled to get independent, and how we got independent in 1962.
So 1962, 9th October 1962, Ugandans gained independence from the British. Almost 60 years later, Uganda, with the highest population of young people, what does independence mean for young Ugandan?
Well, when I was growing up, the independence was a very big day in celebration. You find the jubilation right from the village up to the cities. And they used to say, Uhuru ya Bote. They used to think that it is Obote who brought independence. And we used to have songs that praises him for the struggle in Uganda. And people thought there was freedom. But I think after a short while, there has been a lot of violence and war after war, the guerrilla war, and the way government changes from one to another. And the country has never enjoyed independence at all. And that's why now as I talk, in Uganda, it is just for the president and his few men who go and celebrate independence. It looks like the rest of Ugandans are not yet independent. And the independence we are talking about has changed, not from the British, but from within ourselves.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. On the show today, we are exploring the concept of independence as millions of Africans on the continent celebrate Independence Day. What are they actually celebrating? I'm joined in the studio by Ugandan member of parliament, Akol Anthony. So when you say that some Ugandans are much more independent than others, what exactly do you mean? Give us some examples.
I mean, those in power tend to misuse the power they have against the citizens of Uganda. At the end of the day, you find there is no peace of mind. There is no freedom from... we talk about economic freedom. We talked about political freedom. I mean, if you are not independent in your own country, you live in fear. I've seen a lot of brutality in the country. I've seen situations where you wake up in the morning, you find somebody's dead. You don't even know who has killed the person. The security agents are trying to investigate. At the end of the day, you see other people being abducted on the street of Kampala and other towns with people in the plain clothes uniform. You don't even know whether they are government soldiers.
How common is this?
I mean, it's so common, almost on a daily basis. So that leaves Ugandans with fear in their own country, and you become half citizen in your own country. And that's the problem I'm talking about.
What would true independence mean for Ugandans?
People must be able to live. They must have the basic need, the housing. Where do Ugandans sleep? People must be able to eat 3 times in a day. You find even getting 1 meal in a day is hard to some people. People still die of hunger. They are buried.
So what is government supposed to do? Is government supposed to provide housing? Is government supposed to provide food for people? Or you're saying that there are no conditions in which people are able to work themselves towards gaining a place where they can live comfortably or food?
There is need for government to provide enabling environment for development. For example, if the problem in a particular region is poor weather in terms of climate? What is government going to do in terms of irrigation to make sure that the animals can survive, to make sure that you can plant crops to survive? If the countries like Egypt, which is basically desert, can have water from irrigation from the source, which is River Nile, which comes from Uganda, to feed their people, what about the people of Uganda who has many rivers and streams around? And then the rainfall. Then you come to, you know, you're supposed to protect Ugandans in terms of their life and in terms of their property. That is provided in the Constitution of Uganda. You have to protect the life of the people. You have to protect the property of the Ugandans. But you find situation where in other places, it is the government which is even robbing people of their land. For example, in my constituency in Kilak North, in Apar, where the Ugandans, 48,000 almost, are rendered landless. Government wants to remove their land. In this situation, you question yourself. The country is known for taking care of refugees, but at the same time, internally, you are displacing your own people. So how can you say these 48,000 people are independent? These are issues we are talking about. If you're talking about independent, that's why we are saying, as we talk now, let the power belong to the people, which is in the Constitution of the Republic of Uganda. Article 1, power belongs to people.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. On the show today, we are exploring the concept of independence as millions of Africans on the continent celebrate Independence Day. What are they actually celebrating? I'm joined in the studio by Ugandan Member of Parliament, Akol Anthony. Now, you're a Member of Parliament for Kilak North in Amuro District. What did your people send you to Parliament to do? What are some of their main wishes in terms of, when you think about it, in terms of achieving true independence for your constituents? What did they send you to Parliament to do? What are some of the core issues?
First of all, if you ask me a simple question, if I was a president of Uganda, what would be my focus? I would think the best to do is the health issues. Two, agriculture is the backbone of the people of Uganda. It employs 73 and above percent of the population of Uganda. That would have been a focus. You provide equipment for the people to produce a lot of food which can feed the world over. The third issue is education. As I talk now, the education in the country is very expensive. It is only the rich who can afford to pay their children in school. Actually, of recent, the other presidential candidate, Dr. Kizza Besigye, was saying, if President Museveni grew up now, he wouldn't have studied because his father was very poor. It is too expensive to raise a child to go to the university.
So education, I wanted to stay on education real quick, because you're talking about education in terms of expense and how expensive it is. For our listeners, universal primary education is a government program that provides education for elementary school students so that everybody is able to go to school for free.
It is up to elementary level, then you go to secondary school, there is universal secondary education.
Oh, that's okay.
Again, but all these students who study in these schools, they don't even go along with their studies.
Right.
When we're still talking about the education, the best that you could have done, maybe to provide now the skill training for those who cannot go further with their education. It is not even done.
Vocational training.
It is not there, the vocational training.
So you would say, in terms of reforming that, that you would introduce vocational schools.
Yes.
For those who are left out of the system or who cannot afford to go for higher education.
Yeah.
But as we still stay on the issue of education, many in Uganda will say that it's not just about affording education. It's just also that it's not the right kind of education that gives you the skills and the tools to be able to be independent in the marketplace where you can...
Now what you're talking about is what I raised some few days in our meeting in the World Bank. I said, for the world to be at equal settings, there is need to compromise the syllabus. Because now as you take your child to school in Africa, let me say, for example, let me generalize it, not Uganda only. In 15 years to come, the education you've given your child will be useless because the way the technology is advancing, the way the digital world is now moving forward, that passion cannot fit in the world.
You can't keep up.
You can't. So these are issues that need to be addressed beyond Uganda. Actually, it's African issues, the sub-Saharan regions, because you realize that the Western world need the skilled laborers from the other side. But they are not skilled. They are human human capital, which is not well groomed up to fit in the world. These are issues that need to be addressed by countries, by the world over.
Right. Yeah. How important is education reform in terms of realizing true independence for Ugandan youth?
I think, to me, the education that was left in Uganda was raising people for white-collar jobs. People were not entrepreneurship trained. They did not have the ability to think about what can I do that can create jobs for myself or for other people.
Or for the community, right.
And that is why of recent, we as parliament have been talking about there should be a change of the curriculum to make sure that should make people to think to create jobs instead of job seekers, those who should put on collar, you know.
Put on ties.
Ties the way I'm putting on the shoes. Right. And then you talk and then you're in the office. And that was the kind of the British training that was left in Uganda. Which I think with this development, that kind of skill is now, you know, being left behind. And there is need as a country, as many other countries in Africa, to make sure that we work on this.
How is that message being received by other members of parliament? How feasible is it that you would be in your current term as member of parliament representing the people of Kilak North?
Well, I have seen governors taking it up. They are now working on the curriculum to change it. And one of the issues now, entrepreneurship is one of the subjects that is taught in school. So with that, maybe it can change. But still, as I told you, the problem of the cost of education, the poor people of Uganda will not be able to even study what you're changing, the curriculum, maybe the skills you want to give to the children.
Why is education expensive when we hear teachers complaining that they're not being paid well? Well, where is the money going? And who's controlling the resources, the education
resources? I think the problem comes from the onset of not implementing the constitution. Because in the constitution of the Republic of Uganda, education is a right. If it is a right, then you should make it affordable for the citizens. The fact that they have created private schools and government schools, that's what has brought problem. In the past, people were able to study in the government schools everywhere, and it was cheap. Government subsidized the cost of education. If you look at the leakages from the resources of Uganda, the one that goes to the corruption issues, which are too many. We have created the courts. We have created many institutions. Now the president has created another institution within institutions fighting corruptions. You will have these resources if you close the gap, the leakages, to make sure education is subsidized for all Ugandans so that it becomes a right, as it is put in the Constitution of the Republic of
so
Uganda.
So it is expensive because it's under-resourced, and the money is under-resourced because the money is
the
being,
teachers are not paid well. They don't even have the teachers' quarters where they should stay. You find in the government schools, by 10 a.m., teachers are just arriving in school. They don't have transport to travel from their home to schools. And the structures where the classrooms are also bad. The number of pupils or students in the class, 200 plus for one teacher, it is something that you can't even imagine that is happening in this in this 21st century. It is something that you don't believe.
So 60 years Uganda has been is celebrating independence. You are here in Washington.
There is nothing to celebrate. And I tell you the truth of the matter, I didn't celebrate. I was in Uganda. I just stayed at home, not even cook something that should be a special dish because Independence Day. No, I didn't do that. Not only myself, but even in my constituency, people were at home just as a normal day, nothing to celebrate as a country. Intelligent
revolution. That was Ugandan legislator Akol Anthony. He was speaking to us here in the studios. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi.
Hello, Upfront Africa. My name is Obudiedeo Mbabas. I'm a Ugandan born from southwestern Uganda, Kigezi. Concerning with Uganda's independence, which we attained 9th of October, 1962, Ugandans had that privilege. As years went by, at times, Ugandans by then started celebrating it. In fact, even nobody could go to the field to work. It used to be a public holiday because it meant a lot to us. But as in these past decades, Ugandans have lost interest to celebrate the Independence Day. When you look at the way Ugandans do behave today, we feel that we are still not independent. Much as the flag was hoisted, but the Ugandans do not have power. Independence means you are independent. You can decide, you have freedom. But in Uganda, there is where people lack freedom. We are not all that free in terms of our decisions.
If you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. So on October the 1st, Nigeria celebrates its independence from British rule. The country's first democratic government did not last long. It was overthrown by the first of a succession of military coups in 1966. Even though democracy was finally restored around 1999, the legacy of that violent political history still haunts the country up to now, and it affects almost every aspect of this rich West African nation. And that's why 60 years after independence, young Nigerians like Aisha Medina Mashanu say that today's youth don't see much to celebrate. And in many ways, this explains the lackluster mood in the country's capital, Abuja, on a day when they should be celebrating.
I was in the capital of the country. I was in Abuja.
What is the atmosphere like in Abuja on Independence Day?
Honestly speaking, it wasn't really lively because the only thing that happened was a concert which happened in the night. But even the decorations and all that was supposed to happen because it's the capital. It's like the biggest city in the country.
Right. So there was no excitement in the city.
There was no excitement. Everyone was just doing their daily business. Nothing really happened.
When you're younger, were people celebrating more?
I would say our parents or the generation before us took it a bit more serious than us.
What do you think changed? Why do you think there's no excitement around independence?
Well, if you check the situation of the country. The country is not really in good shape because on the Independence Day, especially on Twitter, a lot of people were just saying they don't see any reason why they should celebrate independence because the country is just getting worse by the day and all that. So I think that is one of the reasons why people, especially our generation, do not feel Nigeria is worthy to be celebrated. You get what I mean?
Right. So they're saying based on the politics and the economics of the country,
the economics, and
that there's nothing worth celebrating.
Exactly. And what keeps happening to people? People keep getting killed every day. Stuff like that.
If you were to celebrate independence, what would it be?
If I were to celebrate independence should mean to me that our country is, Nigeria is moving forward. The country is in good shape. That is what would enable me to be happy to celebrate the independence of my country. But if the shape of my country isn't really in good shape, I don't see how I would be so happy to celebrate independence.
Now, many of the people who in Nigeria's top leadership, including your president, are people who were alive at the time when the country was gaining independence.
Yes.
Do you feel they still understand or appreciate the value of having gotten rid of colonialism?
I don't think they do. I don't think they do, because all they focus on is the wrong things, and they don't care, but it seems like they don't care. They just focus on themselves. They focus on what works for them.
Because
their personal wealth. So I don't think they really care.
So you said that in Abuja this year there was not a lot of excitement. People were not celebrating like they used to in the past. What is the government position, though? Because I would imagine the president would give a grand speech, like I've seen in East Africa. I know the president of Uganda, for example, on the 9th of October, gave a big speech. He had a state visit from President Mnangagwa of Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Again, the same generation as the Buharis, still leaders on the continent. Was there any type of investment? Do you see any type of moral or financial investment in this day as having some sort of symbolic significance to the country?
Even if there was, they would...
You're going to say they will eat the money?
Exactly. That's what I want to say. I don't want to hold back. Exactly, because I am very, very sure there were some millions or some billions that was allocated to that decoration or to the celebration and all that, but we didn't see it. Yeah. That is the capital. You know for sure the government will give some money for that to happen, but we didn't see it. If you saw the decoration that was done on the streets of Abuja, it was honestly a disgrace.
Now, what are some of the things that young Nigerians, I know you have, you've worked in Nigeria all your life, or most of your life, you've covered both the politics and the economics and the youth of that country. What are some of the things that give you hope that young Nigerians are working towards achieving full independence, both economic and political?
Honestly speaking, everyone knows that the Nigerian youth, they are up to something. They are different. They are all trying to strive and do things their way. They are all trying to make money themselves because they have grown up and seen that the government can't do that for them. So that gives me hope, because you would see an ordinary Nigerian just waking up and just deciding he wants to open an organization or something of his own that will help people on the street, or that will help widows. I've seen a lot of them, and that gives me hope. That shows me that we are up to something, and honestly speaking, our generation is going to do better.
So
our generation is going to do big things.
I feel like you're saying that part of their working towards their independence, so full independence would be independence from the state, from the government and its institutions, and its ability to kind of withhold or hold them back.
Yes.
From achieving whatever they want to achieve.
Exactly. You know, it's just, you know, when you have an economy like that, when you have a country with so much potential, you just, the people in the country just need to do better. We always tell ourselves in Nigeria that change begins from you. It should begin from you.
So you as an individual, as a person.
Yes, you as an individual.
Mm.
The fact that our young people in Nigeria are trying to strive and do better, That gives me hope that with the potential that our country has, they're going to do big things, honestly speaking.
Aisha, thank you very much for speaking to us. Hopefully things get better in Nigeria.
Hopefully. I know it will get better.
I'll see you soon here at the Voice of America, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
My country people.
And on that note, we come to the end of the show today. Thank you very much for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, if you want to contribute to the show, our email is upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @upfrontafrica. You can also follow our social media pages, Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube, among others. We'll catch you next time, same time, right here on The Voice of America. Goodbye. Say me.
talk about the smart things. So